Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Tig 10 for Talmud. Nida Yud Gimel, Nida 13a, pagination is 25. We'll start at the beginning of the page, which is the beginning of the second perek. Kol hayad hamarba livdok banoshem mishubachas. Any hand that does checks often increases the number of checks regarding women. It's praiseworthy. So a woman who checks often is considered praiseworthy because she's always verifying if her status has changed, if she's become a nida. We don't conduct ourselves according to this rule. Jumping to real practical halacha because we find that it could cause irritation. Sometimes colors will be presented, which in our generation, many generations removed from the Talmudic times, we might have doubt about. And because we don't have perfect knowledge of different colors as they once did, we might have to be stringent. So we're not looking to create shilas, and therefore we only do the checks that are mandatory. But according to the Mishnah, more frequent checks is praiseworthy by a woman. Uva'anoshim tikotzeitz, but by men to do increased checks to see if there is tuma, if there was an emission, it should be cut off. It's a bad thing. Rashi, top line, Benoshim, is praiseworthy. Shemitoch kach lo osi lidei sofek tuma, so that there shouldn't be any doubtful tuma occurring where she comes in contact with truma or kachem. Ubaila lo osi lidei isura, and there's less chance that the husband will ever come near to a prohibition because she's always monitoring herself. Again, this is not the way we practice it in our time because of various downsides. Uva anoshim, but by a man, Rashi continues, Shema yotza mimenu keri, maybe he had an emission, tikotzeitz, bad thing. Shemischameim umargish kishememashmesh ba'ama, because a sensation, a stimulation could occur when he's touching himself at that part of the body. The word amma is an interesting word. In this context, they translate it as the male organ. The word amma is a conduit, the stream in the Beis HaMikdash, that was the conduit of water from one place to the other, was called the Amma. And it could very well be that that's what's being described. It's a conduit of liquid from the body to another location, remarkably created. What's most notable is for procreation, in order to conduit the male seed into the wife's body. Rashi finishes off with the key words over here, Umotzi shechva zera levatala. By checking often, a person could end up emitting the seed without any reason, without normal procreation with his wife, and that would be a problem. Says the Gemara, Maishin anoshim, maishin anoshim. What's the difference between men and women? Noshim lav benos hargosha ninhu. Women are not benos hargosha. They're not in the category of stimulation. Mishubachos. So for them to check, that's wonderful. Anoshim, men, de bnei hargosha ninhu, that they do have the risk of stimulation, tikotzitz, it's a bad thing. So Tosfos, in the second Tosfos, very small print, explores what this distinction exactly is. One approach certainly is that maybe there's no Isur Zera Levatala by women, and we don't care if the check causes a stimulation. Makes no difference to us, because the emission of whatever we define the woman's seed is internal and natural and is not a problem. Whereas the man's is external and abnormal and therefore considered a problem. This is related to a more global question of whether women are obligated in Peru Revu or not, and some link these two concepts as one, although not necessarily so. In terms of halacha, regarding the man and its attendant concerns, we have these halachas in Evan Ezer Simon Chaf Gimel. Asur lahotzi shechvasera levatala. Person is not allowed to emit the seed for no reason. Va'avon ze chamor. And this sin is serious. Sif Beis, elu shemino'afim biyad, people who do so purposely, isur gadol hu. It's a great prohibition and a discussion of its ramifications. Most pointedly related to our Mishnah is Sif Gimel, asur la'adam sheyaksha atzmo lada'as. A person is not allowed to bring himself to that, what we call kishui, hard, purposely. In other words, not just the hotzua zera levatola, but to bring oneself into that situation, into that nisayon, perhaps might be the reasoning. And that's most related to our Mishnah. The person who's checking is trying to be pious and saintly, but by constantly checking, he's moving in a direction that's a problem, and the Mishnah therefore prohibits it. It does seem from the presentation that there's something about women that's considered zera, but it's not a problem. And that opens the question, what exactly is being defined as the woman's zera? Now, we understand to some degree her contribution, but the presentation among the Rishonim generally centers between the discussion of blood contribution, uterine blood, other blood, blood that creates the ability for the child to be formed and is a contribution in forming the child. The expression in the Talmud is that the husband provides the white and the woman provides the red. Or perhaps we're discussing what's produced by the ovaries. There is a fascinating Rambam that's worth further consideration on this topic in Isurei Bia, Perek Hei, Halacha Dalid. The Rambam writes, "Lamaila min ha-cheder, above the room." This is how they described the woman's body in clean mushal analogy type terms. There's a room, umin ha-prozdar, and the hallway. Bein cheder le-prozdar. Hu ha-makom sheyesh bo shtei beitzim shel isha. That's the place where the woman has her two eggs, meaning producers of the woman's contribution to conception. V'hashevilim shebohen mispashala shechvas zera shala. And over there are the pathways, the tubes in which Hershech Vazera becomes developed, it matures. Makom Zehu Hanikra Aliyah, and that's called the attic. And the Rambam, in using the word Shechva Zera Shalah, her Shechva Zera, is apparently indicating to us a term that could be quite relevant for this discussion that Tosfos opened up. Is it simply that women are not in the discussion of Shechva Zera, or there's a real analogy between the man's body and the woman's body, but for some other reason, the woman's potential stimulation is not an issue? She doesn't get stimulated in that way. Even if she did, it wouldn't make a difference. Maybe there's no obligation on her, or maybe the fact that it's all internal makes it that it's not a violation. All of these are part of the greater discussion, which also pertains to topics of fertility treatments in our time and what is the best way to proceed depending on the circumstances. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.